It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today I'd like for us to look at the first symptom of our study of problems. Now, let me remind you that I'm looking at this subject with a biblical perspective. Today, I'd like for us to look at the symptom of worry. The word worry means anxiety, care, and we could say that which divides or distracts the mind, and it draws a troubled person's mind in different directions. Maybe you felt like that sometime in your life. Well, sometimes the word is used of a healthy and helpful concern and care. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25, it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Paul goes on to say in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto me," or unto you, "that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Paul was concerned. And the word worry is also often used to describe an unhealthy and harmful concern and care. We've seen how that Paul had concern. It was not an unhealthy way of looking at worry. But, you know, we sometimes find ourselves caught in a web of problems. When we have a problem, most of the time, the problem will produce what is called a symptom. If the root of the symptom of the problem is not dealt with, then that will lead to what is sometimes called the downward spiral. You see, the cares and concerns which divide and distract the mind are many. Some things people worry about, and we read about these things in the book of the Word of God. Matthew 6:31 says, "Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 24, it says, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink?" Exodus chapter 16 and verse 3, "And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Well, of course, that wasn't true. You see, there's many more verses that talk about this symptom of worry. Some people worry about what they will eat, what they will drink, or even if they will have clothes to wear. I've noticed recently that people are selling this dried product to sell. They say they're getting ready for the apocalypse and all this thing. Well, they better concern themselves with today instead of things like that. Now, people worry about many things. They worry about anything and everything. Well, I'd like for you to notice the following things, some things to know about worry. See, worry is disobedience. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Lord says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, nothing. Cares and anxieties, nothing. Don't care about that. This means don't worry about anything, or do not worry about one thing, or stop worrying about everything. Therefore, whenever we worry about anything, we are disobeying God's command in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. When God tells us not to worry, He means it. God sees worry as sinful disobedience, and so should we. See, worry is actually unbelief. The Lord Jesus gave some important instructions about worry in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. And we see in this passage in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30 that it clearly indicates that worry is unbelief. It says there, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" See, the person who is troubled with worries and cares is really saying, "I do not believe that God loves me and cares for me and is able to take care of my problems." Worry and trust cannot live together in the same house. As long as trust abides, worry can never enter. When worry comes in, trust has already left. Worry starts where faith ends. Well, worry is a form of atheism. You may not have thought of this. The atheist says this, there is no God. Psalm 14 and verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. See, the person who worries is really saying, there is no God who can handle my problems and take care of my life and my future. The one who worries as well as the atheist, and I hate to tell you this, is a fool according to Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1. If you don't believe God, then the Bible says the fool hath said in his heart. Well, worry can also lead to physical problems. Even the medical world tells us that stomach ulcers and other physical problems can often result from needless worry and anxiety. Not only is worry spiritually unhealthy, it is also physically unhealthy. Worry can never help us, but it can harm us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says this, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. We are told by the medical professionals that worry can cause anxiety, even panic. Worry can cause the body's sympathetic nervous system to release stress hormones such as cortisol. Now, these hormones can boost blood sugar levels and triglycerides, and that's blood fats, that can be used by the body for fuel. Well, the hormones also can cause physical reactions such as difficulty in swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling, twitching, and the list goes on and on. Worry is not good. Jesus said in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see, worry is illogical. In other words, it's senseless. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26, the Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. This is Jesus speaking. He says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on even, he says. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Worry makes no sense. In Matthew chapter 6, and we just read this, the Lord Jesus illustrated how illogical worry is. In Matthew 6, 25, and the first part of that verse says, take no thought. In other words, don't be anxious. Do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. The Lord Jesus then asked in verse 25, is not the life more than meat? In other words, food or nourishment. The answer to this question, of course, is yes. Is not the body more than raiment, clothing? The answer, of course, is yes. Ask yourself this question. Which is greater? In other words, more important. The life that God has given to you or the food that God has given to you? Would you rather have your life or would you rather have a hamburger? Can you survive without a hamburger? Can you survive without your life? If God has given you life, which is the greater gift? Will he not also give you the food and drink that supports life? Food and drink are the lesser gifts. If God gave you the greater, will not he give you the lesser? The worried person is really saying, the God who gave me life is unable to give me food and drink. Does that make sense? And the greatest thing is this about life is he's given eternal life to those of us who have trusted him. That word trust means don't worry. Which is greater? the body that God has given to you or the clothes that God has given to you? Well, you've gotten the idea by now that there's nothing greater than what God can handle all of this. We should not worry. Well, notice that worry is good for nothing. In Matthew 6:27, worry has never been able to help anyone. Worry has never accomplished anything. Worry has never solved even one problem. Worry can look at problems, but it can never solve problems. Worry is useless and unprofitable. Worry does absolutely no good. Well, the Lord put it this way, which of you, by taking thought, in other words, by being anxious or worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? Matthew 6:27. Well, the answer to this question, of course, is you cannot add to your stature. And the word stature here can be used in two different ways. It often means age. You see that in John 9:21. It says, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. In other words, stature. And then we see in Hebrews 11:11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. In other words, stature. Well, the word stature can also mean stature, how tall a person is. And I think you've gotten the idea here that we shouldn't worry about these things that come into our lives. A man might worry himself to death, but he cannot worry himself to a longer span of life. The length of our time on earth is in God's hands. Our days will not be increased by worrying. Anxiety will never result in a longer, richer, and fuller life. And remember this, no one can solve your problems, and no one can, do the things that you need to be doing by trusting in the Lord. Worry can do no good. Notice facing today, what should I do today? Worry or work? Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. See, each day has enough evil, in other words, trouble and problems of its own. Worry is concerned and anxiety over the future. Worry is about what might happen tomorrow. Now, here's a fact. We do not know what will really happen tomorrow. James 4:14 says, wherefore, or whereas, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. There's many things that we could look at here. And here's another fact. Who does know what will take place tomorrow? Well, I can tell you who knows. God knows about tomorrow. Isaiah 46:9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. We do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. You've heard that before. Now, please consider two important days. Today, this present moment, which you can grasp and lay hold of, and tomorrow, that future moment which lies ahead and out of reach. Keep those things in mind. Well, the bottom line is this. What is worrying you? Worry is not your problem. Worry is a symptom of a problem. The answer, get rid of the problem. And we're working on that. Next, we're going to look at fear. Is it good or bad?
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.